Hey everybody, Jace here. This interview is with Shane Davis and Michelle Dalecki. They are the creative minds behind the recently announced series Xcend from Image Comics. And if you're not familiar with Xcend, I'm going to let Shane tell you all about it. It's a book that I'm definitely looking forward to, so it's a pretty thorough interview. Shane Davis is definitely excited about it and has a lot of big ideas, so I hope you enjoy it, and I'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source. I'm here with comic creators Shane Davis and Michelle Dalecki. Early Thursday, first day of Comic-Con. How are we doing this morning?
Good. It's kind of, to me, the second day because of preview night, but I guess it's actually like...
First official day.
Cool,
so I wanted to talk a little bit about Xcend, your new creator-owned book from Image, coming out in October, is that right?
October 7th. It'll be in the next catalog, the next Diamond catalog. So.
Okay, so give me your quick 15-second pitch about what the book's about if somebody hasn't heard of it yet.
15-second pitch would be like, you know, it's, you know, the idea is like where reality ends and fantasy begins, you know, where's that line drawn? And we follow teenager Eric Morn, and basically it's like what happens when the game decides to come to our world to play when there are no extra lives and the apocalypse is looming on the horizon. What do you do? And it's going to follow three teens that get pulled into a new online virtual world to beta test a game. And the three teens are from unique, different places. So they're not related at all in different aspects of their life. And the game follows them. They're approached by an AI system called Dog. And when they come out of the game, the game follows them back into the real world, and it's about what those individual players would do with their skill set. And one of the players, the antagonist, Ruin, actually doesn't know when to stop, and he keeps trying to gather XP and grow, and it's the global consequences of that, you know, in the real world. And so Dog, Rain, and Morn, the main character Eric, they will all be trying to get to Ruin before he activates in the real world, because they could never defeat him in the game world.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of the overall gist of the first arc.
And you mentioned something yesterday. You thought people were maybe had some different expectations. Are people coming at it from a different direction that you're wanting them to, or what did you mean when you...
Well, I know people would think like, okay, well, this is video game based and I expect video game this and video game that, and oh, it's a novelty, and that is there, but there's a deeper issue that's going to be, I'm going to tackle in this, where again goes back to where reality ends and fantasy begins, and that disillusionment that can happen. And there's a specific reason why I wanted to gift three separate characters with these abilities and where they're at in life and what they choose to do with those abilities in the real world. So, like, globalization will be tackled in there, because in my book, everything kind of runs off a thing called the RUN program, which is Rule Under Nations, which is, in my book, it'll be like, it stemmed from the Star Wars program with Reagan, and it's a satellite program where the nukes are in space and seven nations are in a union, and for any nuclear power to happen, it takes a majority vote of 6 out of 7, and that forces the world into peace. But when they come over, and Ruin especially wants to take out heads of government to get extra XP, like their higher bosses,
right,
you know, and level up, like, that triggers a global nuclear holocaust, or just, you know, and that's what they're trying to prevent. So I was tackling things like globalization on a real world scale, but also, like, kind of in a way, to some extent, shootings in public places, schools and stuff, because that disillusionment of more violent video games, I think, and you know, what consequences in reality are, and that disillusion, you know, that disillusioned person, you know. So There's a lot of issues like that I'm tackling, and it's not really so much a novelty video game thing. They actually only are in the video game for one issue, and not even the full issue, like probably like a total of like 10 pages.
Right. So it sounds to me, just from what you said, is maybe people hear video game, and yeah, they think kind of a light read, action, shoot 'em up kind of thing, and it sounds like what you want is more depth and more characterization and more meaning, I guess you'd say.
Well,
more layers to the story.
Definitely, but it's a lot easier to get that, I think, across when, you know, you carry your punches. You can't just go in and like, oh, this is so deep and I'm going to do a thing about school shooting, or I'm going to do a thing about globalization. I think like the idea I wanted to do is really approach it in like a manner of like, and a lot of people think, oh, I know what you're doing with this. I know what you're doing with this. It's like, you probably don't. And there's a lot of stuff I'm not telling people that you won't find out to 4 or 5. There's a story I want you to think I'm telling, and then there's the story I'm actually going to be telling.
Okay.
And you really won't know that twist. And if I told everybody, hey, this is actually what's happening, it's like, you know, what's the show? What's
right.
the show in that?
Right. So would you say the tone you're after is more balanced between action and depth? Or does it lean one way or the other?
I'm going to let Michelle answer that because she can be a little bit more biased than me. I'm not accustomed to talking about my writing that much just yet. So,
well, as far as tone goes, overall, I mean, the story itself is pretty, it's deep. It's kind of sad. It's not really a very happy story, but I think it's very true to life, you know? I mean, not everybody has a very happy life, you know? It's not always rainbows, but, you know, basically, like, the beats of the story are sort of like what Shane was explaining, you know, that basically, like, it's going pretty fast paced. It doesn't lag. It's going quickly, but it's a sad story. I just think it's really deep.
What
you know?
She's talking about with the sad story is the main character Eric Morn is a he's actually a twin. We pick up with a twin that a year after the passing of his sibling.
Okay.
So he's basically like a half of a whole. You're talking about a person that was born with another person, and his set of social skills and reactions with people were always kind of spaced and paced with a half.
Right.
You know, so like you're talking about our main character is kind of socially withdrawn and kind of broken, and I find him to be an interesting character because as he's a broken character, and you want to give characters that have something they need to accomplish or fix. What I find fascinating about this character being a surviving twin of and of a tragic death, a car accident actually, like is like, you know, he can't fix it.
Right.
And so we're picking up with a kid that has problems that you know he can't fix, and he's constantly reminded of the dead from the living, like everybody around him, like kind of treats him like, hey, you know, I know it's the anniversary, so how are you? And it's like, you know, he'd probably be fine if everybody would forget.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's also about how he copes and lives with his day-to-day life and how that interacts with gaming because he's so socially withdrawn, but then so involved in gaming and the social networking in gaming. And one of the characters also is like a pop star, Rain. She's a music pop star, but she's also a big gamer, so it's kind of like YouTube and Twitch had a baby. She has this ultimate fan base of like, I'm a gamer, I'm a pop star, you know, like, you know, I really wanted to, even though I've never seen that done, I really wanted to mesh that together where like an entertainer tried to straddle two things like that. And I guess I see it a lot with the movies,
right?
You know, where an entertainer's like, oh, I do this, but oh, I love comics because I do a comic movie. But I was like looking at this from entertainers who actually love gaming, who was like, you know, I was like a big Mindless Self-Indulgence fan, and you know, they always had like a gaming sound effect like being added to their music, and I just thought there was like a segue there of like entertainment and games that can kind of cross. So, and that'll affect Rain and her story and and where Rulin's coming from, bullied in school and stuff, the main antagonist, and what decisions. Basically, wherever they're at in real life, I wanted it to affect what they do when they come into the real world and their mindset of how they use their powers and stuff, which they're all have unique powers that, again, I think too many people think like I'm ripping off this or that, but like, or not, I mean, like Rulin, the main bad guy, is able to take possession of things. And so, like, you know, if a jet came at him or something, he basically possesses it into a giant demon bird. So basically, it's kind of like an unstoppable force that way. Eric, the main character, Morn, he actually has kind of like a useless skill set, where it's like he can think two places and converge them into one. So he can basically make, and to some extent, portals. But, like, it doesn't do... It's not an offensive ability.
Right.
And then Rain is pretty offensive, where she can slow down time as long as she keeps cutting you. So, like, until she stops, it's kind of like a chain combo where, like, one hit after another until she stops, everything links. So, and she can freeze time only as she's hitting you, though. And she can't freeze time any other way. And all their powers will combine for like a doomsday mechanism at the end. So that, and they were able to level up too. So like as I go through the series, they will grow attachments and different moves. And that was something I really wanted to do because I was like, it's really cool in games how like you're able to level up and get new moves and new achievements and stuff, but with our comics we never really do that, but they do it with Dragon Ball and manga, and I was like, why don't we do that in American comics? We never really do that. Like, I mean, maybe when I was a kid I'd read a Spider-Man issue and he had to soup up a new spider suit or something to tackle somebody, but for the most part nobody, and even our characters, never upgrade you know, to a new level really. And I think that's where, like, I mean, maybe it defines us as an American comic industry, but it actually, I think it limits story capabilities, too. And I think, like, I went into this book saying they can always level up and be more consequences, or they can do more or look different later on as I go. And honestly, that can make it feel cooler as you go along, you know what I mean? So...
Hey, Michelle, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the collaboration. How much do you bring story-wise, layout-wise?
I'm always bouncing stuff off of her, and she'll sometimes tell me I can't do that, and she'll argue with me. So she has a lot of feedback in the whole process. I mean, I'd almost call her like my editor or something.
Oh, well, actually, you know what? I do get to see... everything from beginning to end, basically, in our studio. And we have this really nice working arrangement where both of our tables are side by side in the studio. So, you know, I get to see him coming up with these ideas in his head. He's like, oh, you know, story-wise, he already has the story completely figured out. And then he does the layouts, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's going to look really nice on the page, you know, when he lays it out. And I get to see him drawing it, and then he just hands it over to me, and I have to ink it, and then he's looking over, hey, Michelle, you know, that's looking pretty tight, or, you know, oh, he fixed that one spot under the eye, you know? So it's really nice that we get to do this together. You know, sometimes he bounces, like he said, ideas off of me and stuff, so I think that flatters me quite a bit, you know, that I get to, you know, be a part of his creative process like that, you know, that's pretty nice. And we're also working with a really awesome colorist.
Yes, Mori Halliwell.
Yeah, he's pretty fantastic. I'm a big fan of his. So, actually, we both are. We both think he's a fantastic colorist. And, you know, he basically takes my inks and he bangs it up and makes it look really awesome.
Yeah,
so.
I saw some colored preview pages and I noticed that the real world images, the colors seemed a little, I'll say, a little more muted, whereas the video game scenes were very primary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really helped differentiate and really helped it jump off the page.
Well, they kind of built to, I mean, everybody's trying to make all their characters look darker, And I get that, but I don't at the same time. Like, I mean, I was drawn into comic characters because they were colorful. So right. I don't know why everybody wants everything to just be a darker shade of this, a darker shade of that. Almost everything looks black. So I really wanted, especially the main character, really pop in like that colorful Superman, Spider-Man type right. way, you know. So a lot of their colors, even though in the game it looks a certain way, like a lot of their colors are built to really snap in the real world. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, even though it's game based, when they come into the real world, like, Eric's first thing he wants to do is like steal cars and money and stockpile them up in a warehouse without even knowing. After I did that, I'm like, oh dude, this is like GTA. Like, I just did Grand Theft Auto and I didn't even realize it. Like, but it's like stuff, but that was what really is the spine of the story, is like the mentality in games. If you were able to do that, where would you do that in the real world if there were no consequences? When you give somebody that much power and they're able to turn on and turn off and go back to the real world, what would somebody actually do if nobody was looking? Would the average person steal from a register if nobody was looking? Would somebody?
And they're teenagers,
and they're teenagers where they have. And I wanted to give each one a broken moral compass of some sort. Like, right. Eric himself especially is just like a broken character emotionally. And he's probably passive-aggressive to a lot of things. Whereas, like, Rain, I'm really intrigued by especially child actors that are kind of raised in a special environment. And what I mean special environment is their psyche is built off of how people treat them.
Right.
So, like, their mentality, they probably have the worst broken set of social skills ever because nobody treats them normal.
Right.
So, like, you know, they come to expect things and are insulted if somebody doesn't look at them. You know, one of the crazy lines when Eric and Rain are on their mission with Dog to try to get to Ruin, to put him back in the game before he comes out, is, you know, it's like he makes a comment like, you know, he judges her and she gets in his face and she's like, you know, what do people, you know, does anybody give a shit if you don't wear your underwear one day? The Pope cares if I decide not to wear underwear. You know, like, that's her arrogance and her mindset is right. like, you know, judge me, but, like, at least people care if I'm not wearing underwear. The only person maybe cares if you don't is your mom.
Right.
You know, like, that's this type of synergy and arrogance and being that young, but I definitely wanted them all to come from different places just because it's really like, what would this person do giving that? And, you know, one of the main lines with Ruin and his tragic background is, I want to be the world's consequence, you know. So it's not really a superhero thing. It won't be, and I know it won't be, but I don't think that would really happen either. I don't, as many superhero comics as I've drawn, I really don't think many real world, if somebody was given this ability or that ability, it is so hard to say they would do the right thing
right.
and write a story where they're doing the right thing, and honestly to be believable. Even though it's fantasy, you come to know it, you accept it, but really, I don't think that would happen, you know?
Well, real life is much more gray than the black and white.
Well, and this is very gray, but it's all built on the story. None of these characters would ever flow on their own. They're all a mechanism together,
right.
like, and kind of that Watchmen sense where, like, any one of those characters on their own don't really stand
right.
out alone, but you put them all together
and
it works.
Right.
Like, I never thought, like, this character is this and he's going to do that, you know, so... you know, and that's how I tackled. I had the story, and then I built the characters around the story. It wasn't like I have this character, and now I'm going to build a story around the character. It is really a weird way I did this. But again, there's the story I want you to think is happening, just so it has that nice juxtaposition and hits people.
Well, I want to thank you both for your time. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
I'll definitely be picking up XN when it comes out and reviewing it
cool.
and spreading the word.
Cool.
So best of luck.
Thanks.